This morning's scripture lessons are Psalms 103, verses 1 through 8, and Luke 13, verses 10 through 17. Please listen to the word of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. From Luke 13. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. The leaders of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your holy word and for what it teaches us about our faith. Help us this morning as we come to this text. Help us to understand so that what I say and what all of us think may be found pleasing in your sight. Amen. A man went to a discount store to buy a suit. And the clerk brought one out for him to try on, which he did. "It doesn't fit," protested the man. "The sleeves are too long." The clerk said, "Hunch your shoulders over a little." The man did, and sure enough, the sleeves hung just right. "But the pants are too short," the man said. And the clerk suggested, "Why don't you bend over?" Which the man did, and the clerk said, "See, they fit now." As the man was leaving the store wearing his new suit, two women came in. And the one said, "Look at that poor man hunched over." And the other woman whispered back and said, "I see him. Such a young man to have such physical ailments," she said. "But doesn't his suit fit nicely?" I thought of this story when I read our passage from Luke, because it seems to me that in Luke's telling of this healing miracle of Jesus, the synagogue leader and Jesus have different ideas on what makes a proper fit. Let's go back a minute and set the stage for this passage. Jesus is at the peak of his teaching and healing ministry. In fact, he has already set himself on his journey to Jerusalem, where he knows It will lead to a confrontation with the religious authorities and ultimately to his death. But it is a slow journey because on the way he continues his ministry of teaching and healing. It was while he was teaching at a synagogue on one Sabbath day that this story that Luke records takes place. Picture the scene with me. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. We don't know which one or even where it is. Jesus would likely be in the front of the room, standing on maybe a slightly raised platform, so he might be a step higher than the rest of the congregation gathered there. And the congregation gathered there would most likely be standing as well, because there would not be any chairs or benches to sit on. Picture now Jesus teaching, and while he is, a woman slips into the back of the synagogue, bent over with age and ailments, possessed by a crippling spirit, is how Luke describes it, for 18 years. Bent over as she is barely noticed as she takes her place at the back of the synagogue. How many times has this woman worshiped this congregation? We can surmise that she's entered that synagogue every Sabbath for the past 18 years, which is about 100 times. Her condition had become an accepted part of life, her life and the life of the congregation. No one notices her as she slips in. Perhaps she is good with that, not being noticed, that is. However, on this day, someone does notice. The new rabbi who's been traveling the countryside is in town, and he is in this synagogue on this morning, and he notices. Even from his perch above the crowd, he probably can't see the bent-over woman enter the building, but he notices the movement of people in the back of the room. He notices that there is a shifting of feet and a separation of people. He notices that something is different back there, and he lifts up on his toes, perhaps, and then he can see the cause of this quiet commotion. An old bent over woman has come into the synagogue, and he calls her forward. Now you'll notice that the woman doesn't approach Jesus to be healed. She just happens to be in the sanctuary. It is Jesus that calls her forward. Notice that she doesn't have to beg Jesus for helping to cure her of her ailment. Jesus just heals her. The woman that no one notices anymore is now noticed. Not because of what she did, but because of who Jesus is. And maybe that is what's really happening here. Maybe that is the real stir of this passage. Jesus notices the woman and heals her, which touches off a nasty exchange with the leader of the synagogue, who found such actions on the Sabbath intolerable. And while it might be interesting to talk about the theological disputes over the Sabbath, I am personally struck by the contrasting visions of Jesus and the leader in the sanctuary. What did each man see when they looked at the bent-over woman? Maybe the synagogue leader saw the bent-over woman so many times that he had ceased noticing her at all. And then again, maybe we all see what we want to see, or perhaps what we're conditioned to see. Years ago, a pastor shared a story with me. He said, as I was driving to church one Sunday morning, I noticed a member of my congregation in sweats and a t-shirt walking quickly towards her home with a cell phone in hand. What went through my head was, she's either going to be very late for worship or not present at all. And let's be honest, it was summer and worship attendance was half of what it could be, and I noticed these things. Not only do I notice these things, I find myself getting very angry during the summer months as I pass persons heading to the lake with their boats or on tractors mowing their lawns. I'm not jealous. I love to worship. I understand that God loves to be worshiped. I just don't understand how people of faith can give themselves permission not to be in church for 3 months of the year. She continued, "Well, I was mildly surprised when I saw that this lay person did make it to worship, albeit a little late. Afterwards, this woman told me that the cell phone call was from another member of the congregation whose much-loved sister-in-law had died, and she needed to talk to someone. She said to me, 'I knew that I'd be late for worship, but I figured it was more important for me to support her in her time of grief.'" We see what we want to see. It was summer. The pastor had some latent anger at his congregation. I won't go into that. He saw another member of the congregation about to miss church. I can only imagine what went through his head. As a side note, I get here pretty early. You guys aren't up and about yet. The pastor saw a woman skipping church. The reality was, here was one of her faithful flock living out their faithfulness. We see what we want to see. The woman was living the spirit of what Sunday worship is all about. We see what we want to see, but too often we don't see what is really there. A while ago, a man told me about the wonderful relationship he had with his step-granddaughter. He said it happened because when they first met, it was Christmas, and he was visiting his wife's first family. Like any other Christmas morning, there was chaos and fun as presents and food and music were happening all over the place. However, this man noticed that over in the corner, one little girl was not seeming to join in the fun like the others. So while everyone else was joining in the revelry, he went over and sat beside the girl. From that simple act endeared him to that girl from that day on. And maybe it was Jesus' ability to see something that no one else saw, or maybe it was his willingness to do something about what he did see. I'm not sure. But that combination made the difference in the life of an old woman. And it is that same combination that makes a difference in the church. The leader of the synagogue noticed that the rules were being broken. Jesus noticed a chance to minister to another person. This is often the case, isn't it? We notice the rules while someone else notices the opportunity for grace. Church consultant Lyle Schaller tells a story of a church in the Bible Belt that had a crisis come upon them, or at least it came upon the pastor. The pastor of this very fundamental church received the difficult news that their teenage daughter had become pregnant. The blow came to the man not only as a father, but as a church professional. He was distraught over the situation, and for help he called Mr. Schaller and asked him, and told him about his predicament and asked him for help. When the man finished his story, he told Schaller that he was calling the church board together so that he could offer his resignation. Such was the shame he felt. But Schaller gave him a bit of advice. He suggested that he wait before he resigned. Why not just tell them what happened and see what they have to say? The man called back a week later and said that he hadn't resigned. When Schaller asked why, the pastor said that after he told the church board the story, the president of the board spoke up and said, "Whatever you do, Reverend, do not resign. We don't want the other churches in town to think we aren't Christian." What the pastor missed, and what the board president noticed, that there is more in God, more grace in God than there is law. And maybe that is why this story is recorded in Luke. so that we might look for the opportunities for God's grace to become manifest in our lives and in the lives of those around us. And I think that God doesn't want us to miss it. Amen.